We're just about ready to get started here, so if you want to find a seat, come on in, find a seat. Plenty of seats still available around here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, well, I want to welcome everybody to our August 12th Woodway City Council meeting. We're back to our regular every other week City Council meeting. So, had a great summer. Now it's time to get back to our two a month meeting. So welcome everybody, great to be with all of you. The time is now 5:31 and I'm opening the meeting at this time. First item on our agenda this evening is our invocation. And I've asked Reverend Sam Smith from St. Paul's Episcopal Church. Reverend Smith is a resident of Woodway and we are so grateful to have you here to pray for us. So please, if you wouldn't mind, come on up here. Thank you so much for being a valuable part of our community.
Thank you for the invitation, Mayor. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the Woodway community, for all who live, work, and play here, and for the great blessing it is to do it together. Mm-hmm. I thank you for these civil servants, our mayor, city council, city staff, first responders, and all gathered here tonight. I thank you for the gift it is to be charged with the responsibility to lead our community in faithfulness, safety, and peace. Grant each leader here the wisdom and courage to do what is right and seek the good of all citizens. May we all put the interests of others above our own. May we all act with love for the common good. May we all be good neighbors, recognizing your image in every person we meet. And may we all seek after the joy of service that you showed us in the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus, whose perfect love casts out all fear and removes all division. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Reverend Smith, for leading our invocation this evening. Really, really appreciate it. All right, moving on, time for the pledge. So if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Folks in the back, we still have plenty of seats along the side and up here on front, so please feel free to grab a seat if you'd like. All right, next item on our agenda is our public comment time. The City Council invites citizens and guests to address the council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments that are related to the public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The timer for your public comments will be up here on the screen behind us. Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please make sure to state the item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your cooperation. All right, at this time, I'd like to invite any of our citizens or guests who'd like to address council. All right, there being none, we will close the public comment time. Moving on to item number four, our presentations. This is the introduction of our new public safety officer. So I'm going to pitch it over to Chief Al-Halabi.
All right. Hey, if you don't mind coming. I wanted to, last month we introduced Chad Rivas, who was our newest officer, and I also wanted to give an opportunity to introduce Daniel Bucknam. Daniel came to us as a graduate of Baylor University in a bachelor's degree in political science. He's currently getting his master's degree in divinity. He was born in Boulder, Colorado. He did graduate from Baylor with his bachelor's degree, and we're just really happy to have him. He has his wife, Kirsten, here, and his new son, Samuel, and we just wanted him to introduce himself, know who he is working for, and who is counting on him to protect and serve. So this is Daniel Bucknum, if you all don't mind. Mind just saying a few words, just introducing yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Grateful to be here, for sure. Woodway is an awesome community. I actually took a class with Chief at Baylor years ago.
It's called a long-term investment right there.
So it was cool to come on at Woodway and work with him. So my wife and I are for sure blessed to be here. We had lived in Dallas a few places before this, and so thankful to be back in the Waco community and the Woodway community, and just what a great place to be. And so thankful for all of you and for all of you guys as well.
Awesome. Kirsten, do you mind coming up here? We can take a picture of you and your kids just to remember this moment.
You can crop me out. I'm just there.
Yeah, right. Awesome. One, two, three. Wonderful. And I'll text that to y'all. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Welcome, officer. We're so happy to have you. Welcome to Woodway. All right, item number five is the presentation of the yard of the month for August. So I think we have a picture up here. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. This is the Stanley family, and they've done such a great job with their yard. So Miss Stanley is here. Hi, Miss Stanley. If you'd like to come on up, we have a little award we'd like to give you right here.
All right, I'll get some.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to come around. Chandler. Chandler, not Stanley.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll get that. Let's see. We're going to print out another one. We're going to get it right this side, okay? So this is Miss Shannon. This is her home. And I'm just going to read what it says. And I'm going to say the name correctly. So Helen Ann Shanley, 17035 Salado, thank you for your outstanding contribution to help make the city of Woodway beautiful. So you bet. And we're just going to hold, you can hold this. Hold it. We're going to get Chief on here.
I need to say three things. First of all, this is our second time to be awarded Yard of the Month, which is, I'm very honored for that. And my husband passed away last year, but we're continuing. But I need to tell you, the most important person in my yard work is Odon Lopez for Plant Rights. He is a wonderful, wonderful helper. And he has been very supportive for 20 years in helping us with this, all this landscaping and maintenance, and he loves cactus, which I love. And third thing is that the lot behind us, we have a cactus garden, and in the spring, there'll be wildflowers. We plant them, sow them every December, and along Hoyt and Dominion. Please come by. Thank you.
Next up is our proclamation. Proclamation in recognition of the 50th anniversary of the Waco Metropolitan Planning Organization. So I'd like to ask our friends from the MPO to come on up.
So Mayor, we have Dr. Mukesh Kumar and staff from the Waco MPO here.
Wonderful. Let's welcome our friends from the MPO. Would you like to say something before I read the proclamation?
Sure, I'd love to.
Great, thank you. We're honored to have you here.
So, first, we have been planning on this. We have been around since 1974, and we have been doing regional planning in this area since that time. And for the last 50 years, most of the major projects that that you see in the area, whether it is I-35 or current mall-to-mall project that is going on, or US 84, Spur 298, you name it, we have had our hands in it in some very substantive way. And in most cases, most of the projects that you see today are the projects that we typically think of almost 15, 20 years ago. So the most important point that I also wanted to invite you all for is that we are in the process of completing our 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. We are going to have 5 public meetings for that. The nearest one for Woodway will be at the Hewitt Civic Complex in their City Hall building. So we would love to have you here. We are going to make sure that all the information about where the meetings are, they reach out to you through the city website, and we have had great support from the city of Woodway. I'll be remiss if I did not mention by name that how important Adam has been on our policy board, as well as Mitch, who is on our technical advisory committee, and both of them are doing amazing work. But even prior to that, for the last 50 years, we have had great support from the city of Woodway. We are quite humbled for that. And since we know that we have been able to count on city of Woodway every time, the thing that we are here to pledge ourselves to is that we have the best set of staff in anywhere in Texas who does transportation planning, and you can count on us doing everything we can to make our region move forward. So thank you. We are humbled and honored for this proclamation.
All right, so I've got the proclamation here, and apologies, it is a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to read all of it, okay? So this is the proclamation from the City of Woodway recognizing the 50th anniversary of the Waco Metropolitan Planning Organization, the MPO. Whereas the Waco Metropolitan Planning Organization was established in 1974 in compliance with federal legislation in order to enhance transportation planning and policy for the benefit of McLennan County, Texas. Whereas the Waco MPO has diligently served as a critical planning entity, working together with state and federal partners to guide the development of transportation systems that are safe, efficient, and equitable for all residents. And whereas the success of the Waco MPO can be attributed to the dedicated community members who have volunteered their time and expertise to serve on its policy board, technical advisory committee, subcommittees, work groups, and task forces, providing invaluable input and direction. Whereas the Waco MPO has consistently prioritized the improvement of quality of life for McLennan County residents through its commitment to innovative planning strategies and initiatives that address transportation equity, accessibility, and safety. And whereas the Waco MPO's ongoing efforts to embrace forward-thinking approaches have positioned it as a leader in regional transportation planning, ensuring that transportation infrastructure and policy meet evolving community needs. Whereas the Waco MPO's adherence to the 3C planning process, which is cooperative, continuous, and comprehensive, has fostered a collaborative environment that brings together diverse stakeholders to achieve common goals for the region's transportation network and mobility spaces. And the Waco MPO's potential for future contributions remains significant, with a steadfast commitment to enhancing transportation systems and regional connectivity for the benefit of current and future generations. Now, therefore, I, Amin Corzal, Mayor of the City of Woodway, acting on behalf of the Woodway City Council, do hereby recognize and celebrate the 50th anniversary. Of the Waco Metropolitan Planning Organization, and extend our deepest gratitude to all those who've contributed to its success. Congratulations. Want to take a quick picture? Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it very much. Okay. I think that's it. All right. Item number 7 is our update from grant consultant Tom Ray with Hicks Ray Associates regarding grant funding opportunities for the city of Woodway. Council, this is Mr. Ray, and sir, we welcome you. Thank you for being here this evening to share with us.
Very good. I appreciate it, Mayor, members of the council. Thank you. Adam. I think we've got some good news for you in terms of how things are going. We're not done yet. This is a status report on how we got where we are and where we're going, an accounting of wins and losses. But the wins are much better than the losses, let me tell you. All right, let me begin with that. Starting back last year, we did apply for $1 million appropriation for Woodway. And it's under CPF, means Community Project Funds. Okay, it's essentially an earmark, but they call them Community Project Funds nowadays. And this gives you kind of a rundown of the items we went through starting back in March of last year and culminating in the end of this year, actually, or earlier this year. We did get the appropriation through Congress, and we're currently working on the funding, bringing down the funding, which it does require an application to the EPA. These are EPA-type grants under the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund. So we're working with John and Mitch on the application for these funds, the $1 million that Woodway has been appropriated to work on the pipelines and conveyance around Highway 84. Just to show you how this looks, this is a page out of the House Bill FY24, and that star is where Woodway did receive the funding. That $1 million, it comes out as a STAG, State and Tribal Assistance Grant. A state and tribal assistance grant requires a 20% match, okay? So you get $1 million, but you have a 20% match. We are helping with the steps that you have to go through to apply for the assistance to apply for the grant. Let me mention that the appropriation stays in place. That money is there. It won't be rescinded, but we want to move ahead as quickly as we can in bringing it down and putting the money in Woodway's account. These are the steps. I didn't focus in too much because it's kind of daunting, but John and Mitch and I are working through these. We've had conference calls with EPA Region 6, and I'm pleased with EPA Region 6. In my younger days, in my younger career days anyway, that wasn't so much the case, but they have been very cooperative and very informative. All right, we're into FY25 now, and we have made requests. One of the ones I want to bring up was the old McGregor and Ritchie Road project, which we thought was an outstanding request. And we made that request for $3.3 million. That goes to a different subcommittee than the one that we received the EPA funds through. It goes to the Transportation, Housing, Urban Development Appropriation Subcommittee, or THUD, as they call it. So that was for the Ritchie Road project. It involved, one of the reasons we thought it was a good project, it involved Woodway, it involved Waco, and it involved the county, and they were all supportive. Now, we need to do a better job this next go-around. If we put in for this project again, we'll do a better job of informing the Appropriations Subcommittee of the importance of this project, the cooperative nature of the project, having three separate political subdivisions involved in a project is unique. So I think we can go back around. That would be starting in March of next year, that general time frame, and go through the next cycle with this same project. I know Mr. Sessions and his staff are ready to work with us to get that done, Adam. This is one of our FY25 requests that was successful. We requested $1.15 million for some tank rehab. I think it's coating or painting those tanks, and also some pressure improvements. Didn't get $1.1 million, but we did get $750,000 towards that project. So that will take care of quite a few of those tanks, or however John and Mitchell want to apply those funds. That's the other thing, that these funds can be, there's some flexibility in using these funds. If you have to make a significant change to the purpose of the funds, different than what you requested for, you can go through a process called a technical correction. And I actually did that with Waco, and EPA 6, Region 6, processes those fairly quickly. So that's in our back pocket if we need to use it. $750,000, and that will be going through the process. There will be the federal year, fiscal year, ends October 1. So I think I told you last time we met in February that what happens is there's a continuing resolution that's needed. They're working on that now. That CR will go probably through November, and then there'll be maybe another one, or they'll get all of the appropriation bills through. We'll get them signed, and we'll be good for next year. This is the FY25 appropriation that Mr. Sessions was successful in acquiring for the city of Woodway. That's what it looks like when we see it on our computer screens. All right, so to recap, the FY24-25 appropriation cycle, federal funding, in 25 was to both the interior, that's think EPA, and THUD, think transportation, and the outcome was we were successful in 24 and 25 on the interior request. Those are the EPA water-related projects. We failed this go-around, this cycle, on the THUD request. We'll be doing some homework on that. We've got a pledge from Mr. Sessions' staff to help them. Yeah, we know them well, so we'll take advantage of that and get after it again. One of the things we do is help our clients get through the maze of requirements in the application for the funds. We're working with John, and although John doesn't need much help, we're working with him and Mitch on getting those funds brought down. We're currently assisting the staff, I just repeating myself, on the FY24 appropriation, the one that is in the bank, if you will. So that's, again, a grant application that's being completed. These are ongoing tasks. I call them secondary, but these are in the background of what HRA does for our clients. We keep up with federal regulatory information, those kind of things, inform Mitch and John of what may be coming around the corner. And we also help build a solid position with Mr. Sessions, particularly in his staff, also with key staff in the two senators' offices. And if ever needed, and I don't know that it ever will, but one of these projects, or if it's if the council has an interest in going to D.C., seeing the sausage making process, Fred and I can accommodate that for you. We can arrange all the meetings, etc. All right, that's kind of my recap. I hope that was not too much and not too little, but if there's any questions, be happy to answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The $750,000 we've got, would we be required to have $150,000 in that project, or you show a total cost of $1.6 million? Will we require the $850,000, or how does that part work?
Well, it is $750,000 in grant funds, and then you match that 20%. That you match. So that would be the total project. Okay. Now you can far exceed that 20% if you wanted to do the 1.16, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
Okay? There's no obligation that you know, that
we can
number.
Spend the $900,000 and that.
Right. Apply that the best way we can to get the most for the dollars invested. We put the total cost because that's one of the requirements of the Appropriations Committee.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Really good news. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Really, really good. All right. Well, after that, we've got our quarterly presentation from the Finance Department. This is their report regarding general fund revenues and expenses, utility fund revenues and expenses, and tourism fund revenues and expenses for the third quarter of fiscal year 2024. So, good evening, Ms. Brenda.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and Council. As mentioned, I'm here tonight to present the quarterly financial report for the 9 months ended June 30th, 2024. We'll be reviewing comparative numbers for the general utility, sanitation, and tourism funds. We also have slides dedicated to sales tax, investments, debt, and utility fund income statement. Unfortunately, I did not include any pictures of ongoing projects because I had to add a few slides, but there is an updated project status report on the last page. The report sits in your packets, and I will post that to the city's website tomorrow morning. So with the first slide, this is the general fund revenues, the darker being fiscal year 24, the current year, and the lighter green fiscal year 23, last year. As far as property taxes are concerned, our collections are estimated at 630 at $5.36 million compared to $5.27 million last year. This fluctuates from year to year depending on the tax rate adopted, but we have seen an increase in delinquent property tax collections and penalties and interest. Additionally, there was an adjustment to the certified levy of last year that has resulted in us collecting more than we originally budgeted. Sales tax collections are right at $3.1 million compared to last year. I have a slide dedicated to sales tax, and we'll touch on that later. Franchise fees are $323,000 at 6/30 compared to last year's $469,000. This is attributed to Atmos, the gas franchise fee coming in significantly lower in the current year compared to last year, and this has to do with natural gas prices as well as customer counts. And then other revenue, you can see that's pretty close, $1.06 million compared to $1.1 million. The makeup of other revenue has changed significantly compared to last year because Carling Bright is no longer included in there. But you can see the revenues are still tracking along, and this is mainly due to increases in family center revenue, increases in interest. We've received some intergovernmental revenue from TxDOT. We've had insurance proceeds, and we've had grants that are all included in other revenue. So this is specifically related to sales tax. I wanted to bring this up because it relates to my budget later presentation. You're going to be hearing from me a lot tonight. But for quarterly comparison at Q3 compared current year to last year, we're right on par. The only difference is we're under budget right now, what I estimated for sales tax, approximately $93,000. Our largest payment for last year was $415,000 in February 2022, compared to our largest payment this year is only $386,000, which is still a lot, but it's less than I budgeted. So for budget purposes of fiscal year 25, I was more conservative and I did not change estimates. And this is how we compare to budget to actual. As mentioned, property taxes were collecting more than we budgeted. Sales tax slightly under at 73%. franchise fees, 40% of what we budgeted, and then other revenues at 82%. So we're tracking along. On the expenditure side of that, general government is consistent. This is city secretary, admin, this is finance. Public safety is at $5.1 million compared to $4.9 million. That increase correlates with their increase in their budget. It's the largest department. Community services was at $1.2 million at 6/30/24 compared to $1.24 last year. Total dollars spent are consistent. Community programs are coming in less, but as I mentioned, Carlene Bright is no longer included in there. And this is how we match up budget to actual. At June 30th, we're at 64% for general government, 66% for public safety, 69% for community service, and 64% for community programs. Next is utility fund revenues. As far as our water charges, we've seen a $138,000 decrease. This is due to a decrease in gallons consumed. During the first three quarters of fiscal year 24, most of our gallons sold do come in the last quarter, though. Keep that in mind. Sewer charges are consistent, and other income, you can see it didn't really exist. This is a laser. Oh, yeah, it didn't exist last year, but now we have interest and insurance proceeds on wells, so that is higher in the current year. Next, on the flip side of that, water services. As you can see, that green bar is significantly larger than the lighter green bar. So that dollar value, $2.8 million for the darker green, $2.1 for the lighter green. This is primarily due to wells being out of service, which has led to more water purchases from the city of Waco. And then we've also seen an increase in pumps, equipment repair, and maintenance. I'll touch on that on the next slide as well. Sewer services are up as well. We added an employee last year. And then with the increase in rainfall, our WMARS sewage treatment bills have significantly gone up. For an example, our normal bills are about $70,000 a month, and June's bill was $140,000. Wow. So that plays a role in there. Mm-hmm. And then customer service, that's my department. We're right on par. I'm just teasing. I do want to point out, though, in your report, you'll see this is on page 9. The utility fund income statement at 6/30/24 is operating at a deficit. And it's been operating at a deficit the past two quarters as well, but that deficit was only around $200,000. That's significantly increased. And this is due to multitude of reasons. There have been a decrease in water sales and an increase in expenses. Plain and simple, city staff has filed insurance claims to recoup some of these costs. And I have a handout to show y'all water consumption for the council members. So do not fret. Most of our water sales, 40% of them do fall from the last quarter of the fiscal year.
Thank you.
And I also wanted to include this so y'all can see the breakdown of what water purchases versus water pump normally looks like.
We buy most half our water from Waco historically, and we pump half of it from the wells. But this year, because we've had repairs and we have ongoing capital outlay, our direct from the wells is roughly looking at 30% compared to what we're buying from Waco at 70%. I wanted to note that Woodway is contracted to pay the city of Waco $3.50 per 1,000 gallons for up to 365 million gallons. Any gallons consumed after that are charged at $4.71 per 1,000 gallons. Woodway surpassed that allotment in May of 2024. So therefore, any water purchases from the city of Waco going forward will continue to increase. But as I mentioned, you can see in the allocation, we still have that last hot quarter. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just been a combination of we've seen more rainfall, less permits, less sod being watered, an increase in expenses, so it's kind of a recipe for this loss. It's also included in the budget. I recommend a year-end transfer from the general fund to the utility fund to zero out this deficit. I met with the mayor to let him know, to give him a heads up. I didn't want this to be the first time he's heard of it. at the meeting, but I just wanted to bring that to y'all's attention as well. Adam, you want to chime in there?
Yeah, thank you, Brenda. So on top of everything Ms. Hernandez just added, management's response to this will be, of course, as she mentioned, a year-end transfer. We're hopeful at the last quarter to see a decent gain. And then on top of that, looking at rate increases October 1 for water, sewer, and also a rate study commissioned by a third party to come in and tell us maybe if we have deltas that we're not paying attention to, if there's other things they can recommend to help us shore up some of these losses. We've also met with the department heads and asked them to rein it in or cut as much spending as they can within reason between now and the fiscal year's end.
Thank you, Mr. City Manager. The other thing I was going to mention is we did have, at this point in time, we did have one claim with TML open for $75,000 on a well, and I did receive that last week. So that helps it a little bit, gets it under $800,000. So we're doing our best to recoup these funds. The next slide will show budget to actual. You see water service charges, 62% of what we budgeted for sewer system is right on track. And then you can see on the bottom are the departments, water and sewer. We expect to be around 75%, but just with everything going on, it's at 81%, 79%. Even my department, customer service, at 76%. This is the sanitation fund. Frontier revenues are up. $1.9 million compared to $1.2 million. This is consistent with our contract. However, I will note that effective June 1st, the city did incur an increase in rates, but we're not passing that on to the customer until October 1st. And that's just consistent with the contract we have with Frontier. Tourism Fund, I had a resident, I believe you asked me, or somebody asked me, if the solar eclipse had an impact on revenues. It does, or it did. You can see revenue dark green compared to last year at $742,000 at 6/30 compared to last year we're at $606,000. So I don't know if that resident is here, but there's that information. And then expenditures are tracking along as expected for the tourism fund. 82%, so 75. I'm happy to see more revenue than less. This is our investment report. We have a CD that's coming up for maturity next month. I have reached out to the bank, but with the Fed estimating to cut rates, they couldn't get me a quote. So my plan as an investment officer, and Adam's an investment officer, well, we'll probably move that into a pooled account. But that's $1 million, and as of June 30th, it had $44,000 in accrued interest. And then our rest of our investments are in pooled accounts of TexPool and TexStar. TexStar is the bond money for the family center and the sewer line project. So that one's going to continue to decrease as those projects come to an end. But the TexPool should only be increasing with interest. And then this is our portfolio. Most of our money is in a money market account, and that's at American Bank. We've done pretty well in that account because the rates have been so high, averaging a 5.1 investment income rate of return. And the other, is, as you can see here, 5.3 was the average for TexPool and TexStar. Then the certificate, the CD, is set 5.75% rate of return. And last but not least, it's almost August 15th, so I have to transfer a lot of money this week to pay our bonds. So that's just giving y'all a heads up. I did want to include this because the tourism bond is going, you see it's 195 is what we have outstanding. When I make this payment, there will only be $100,000 outstanding. So next year we'll be done with that bond. And I think that's it. Do you have any questions, comments, concerns?
Thank you so much. You do such a great job managing everything.
Appreciate it.
When will you have a good idea about where we're at on the water? I know you said most of those revenues come in the last quarter, but when will you have a good feel?
Yeah, we sent out the July bills, I have the July numbers already, and the July is looking a little better. August and September, it's all in arrears, so I'll know more by end of September, early October.
Okay.
When we do the bills. But the tanks are online.
Yeah, the tanks are back.
One of them, maybe. Let me not speak out of turn. But I do know that they're getting the tanks online.
Okay, that's good.
So now, we'll be pumping more.
Will we be approving the rate increase on this next budget?
October 1.
Is that when we'll be talking about the rate increase?
The master fee schedule will be adopted at the next council meeting. Is that
that's
correct?
What I was thinking. So we're basically in that discussion then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
One last question.
Yes,
master
sir.
Master fee has to be done next time
with the budget.
It's all part of the budget.
Yeah.
Yes, it's all related to the budget. I did recommend a 5% increase for the base, and I think Donna has that in the packets. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the,
and the tiers. I did recommend a 5% increase until we can have a formal third party come look at that next year and they do a deep dive. I talked to finance director William Klump and his wife actually was a finance director back in the day too, Linda Klump, and both of them told me during their tenure there was never a formal water rate study. So I know Lorena has done one recently and Robinson did one as well in the past couple years. So I think it's just time to look and see.
It depends on the usage, but I pulled up a few people's water bill to figure out with the new rates what the percentage would be. And it seemed like if you had like a $180 bill, it would be about 7% on that, including the trash pickup increase, which
yes,
we already had improved on it. I think it was $1.20 a month on that, but the rest of it, because the base fee goes up.
Yes, sir, the tiers.
The first tier goes up, and the second tier goes up even more.
The first two tiers are 5%. The last tier is 10%.
So it can increase quite a bit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're pulling from our general fund to meet the
debt. But also, charging more than what we're charged from Waco. So there is a little bit of extra cushion in there to cover labor.
Well, see, if I'm not mistaken, the reason we had such large expenses was because of this last year. In terms of water
use. It was wet, yeah.
So in some ways, is it best to use emergency funds for that? Because it was a one-time thing, we don't know if we'll continue to have that. But that's, there again, that's probably something we need to get deeper discussion in the next meeting.
Well, and it sounds like we have never done a water rate study for a long, long, long time. But, you don't want to keep going in arrears and keep getting deeper and deeper on the deficit. So I'm just curious.
The difficult thing is we'll be approving the rate for the study.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I was wondering if we would have better information later. But okay.
More information.
But what I heard you say is you know that and are accounting for that.
Yes, I'm aware. Historically, we've recommended an increase to correlate with Bluebonnet, but Bluebonnet keeps telling us there's going to be a 50-cent increase when they start this project. They told us that last year. They haven't started said project. So I just put a 5% cushion in there to I think with the 5% just base fee, not including the tiers, it would help the budget get an extra $157,000 in revenue for next year until a formal study can be done. I talked to our engineers, and I was trying to get a study done really quickly. Come to find out it takes multiple months and several thousand dollars. So I went ahead and just included it as a capital outlay item to deal with next year.
Yeah, which I think will be fantastic. And then we'll be able to know.
Of course, on Bluebonnet, we don't actually get that water. That goes to City of Waco.
It's complicated, but yes.
Yeah,
but that's what we've used our baseline of what Waco charges us and the Bluebonnet rate.
Yeah.
So we do get the rate.
How much longer are we tied into that agreement where we have to buy so much from Bluebonnet and then we get it back from Waco?
I don't have termination dates of agreements memorized, but I'm sure, Mr. Shaw, we could look into that.
It would just be nice if that could ever be cleaned up.
Yeah, it's something I've inherited before my time.
We all inherited, yes.
More questions for Brenda? Thank you so much, Brenda.
Thank you.
Thanks. Something to think about. All right, item number 9 is our presentation of sponsors for youth leagues and senior programming at the Woodway Family Center.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to hand this over to Jimmy Rogers.
You sound like you were introducing a Come on down.
Mayor, Council, welcome. It's a pleasure to present tonight. If you hadn't noticed, I brought some friends with me, so we're going to be introducing some folks to you. Yes, so tonight I'm going to introduce you two sponsors, one for our senior programming, one for youth leagues. A couple months before we opened the center, I began the task of shaking hands, taking meetings, making presentations on our sponsorship program. I would love to tell you that the fruits of that effort resulted in these two sponsors, but that is not the case. These two sponsors sought us out. When I met them, they were more than thrilled to come aboard. They did not flinch when I talked to them about the cost of the sponsorships, and they kept asking, well, how else can I participate and be a part of this? So I'm going to bring up the first one's going to be our senior program. It's Ascension Living Providence Hill.
Where is the...
I'm going to introduce Amanda Sonier. She is the executive director for Essential Living Providence Village, and have her say a few words.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy. Mayor, Council, and Woodway residents, my name is Amanda Sonier. I'm the executive director of Providence Village. I have a few of my associates here with us today on behalf of Providence Village. We're very excited to partner with the Woodway Family Center. We have lots of things in store in the future for seniors of Woodway. We have chef presentations, we have Dementia Live exhibits, things of that nature, even some possible field trips that we plan on partnering with the Family Center. And we are very excited to be a part of that, and we look forward to the future of our partnership with Woodway Family Center. So thank you for having us, and I guess all the team members from Providence Village, as you make your way up front for the photo opportunity, I would like to talk about our continuum of care. We have independent assisted living, memory support, short-term rehab, nursing home, and hospice care, all under one roof. So that is what Providence Village, aka St. Catherine Center, is on the highway of, on the corner of Highway 6 and 84. So, come on up, y'all. Don't be shy. Thank you.
A few.
All right, 1, 2, 3.
Now, Jimmy, are you going to take that to the bank and deposit it?
I'm going to attempt to take it to the bank. Chief may get a call of a stranger down there. So our next sponsor I'd like to introduce is Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Again, they approached us about the needs of sponsorship, and going to ask Amy Maxwell. She's the restaurant partner, and Alex Dybol, did I say that name? And she is the restaurant manager. And so they both have been wonderful in their support. You've seen them also supporting other Woodway events. They really want to be a big part of the community, a big part of Woodway Family Center. So today they're going to present a check. So theirs is for $5,000, but there's another caveat. We are going to be doing multiple fundraisers with the intent of raising another $5,000. So this sponsorship is going to be a year long, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. So thank you. Do you want to say a few words? Yeah.
No, yeah, I just want to say thank you, guys. This was a no-brainer for Canes. When before the building opened, I reached out to Jimmy. I stopped by and everything. It's just been an honor so far for this partnership, and I'm just so excited to be with this partnership. And, yeah, it's going to be great, and we're just happy to help out any way we can and be a part of Woodway.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. So in the near future, I was able to get another sponsor for movie night. So in the near future, we'll be bringing that sponsor forward as well. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks for all the hard work, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
And I'd like to tell you that just about don't have a week go by that I don't have someone bragging on the senior services we have at the Family Fund Center and how well it's been. It's just amazing people coming up and talking about how great it is.
It's our pleasure, sir. Yes.
Great job. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you to all our sponsors for that. Wonderful. Yes. Thank you for all you do at the Woodway Family Center. All right, moving on to our public hearings and related action. Item 10A is the public hearing on the application for site development plan and a plan district, a self-storage expansion, Lot 9, Block 4, Business Acres Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 216 Dev Avenue. The time is 6:22. I'll open the public hearing at this time. Is there anybody to speak on this application?
Only if y'all have questions.
Thank you, sir. All right, there being none, I will close the public hearing at 6:23. Item 10B is discussion and consider action on the application for site development plan and a plan district, self-storage expansion, Lot 9, Block 4, Business Acres Addition to the City of Woodway in McLennan County, Texas, located at 216 Deb Avenue. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Sam Griffin, who is the applicant, he submitted a site development and a planned district, which is a remodel of an existing storage buildings that from the Lock 9 Block 4 that the mayor referenced. City has requested that the applicant be present, and he is here. And on July 9th, 2024, following the first public hearing, the Planning and Zoning Commission took action to recommend approval of the site development and to grant three of the exemptions requested, which are no installation of sidewalks, no on-site parking, and no staff off-street loading space. I believe there are some accompanying pictures in your packet, if there's any geography questions.
We granted these variances on the sidewalk and parking because it's just an expansion of the current facility.
Is that correct verbiage, sir? I couldn't remember if you were at that meeting.
He was. Yeah, I was going to say Janelle, myself, and Michael Haburn, planning and zoning member, we saw there, and it was a very detailed, tell me if I'm correct, that they had a good discussion about everything, and it sounded like they worked out all the details and made it very acceptable. And of course, this would be a benefit to the city and a benefit to the business. So,
okay.
I feel like it's a good thing.
Well, it says that P&Z took action to recommend approval to grant three of the exceptions.
Correct.
Which ones did P&Z not want? Because there's quite a list.
remember any of it that was not accepted.
I think there was landscaping that he needed to get a landscaping plan.
So was he required to put in water so he could landscape? Was that what it was?
Something well, he asked for a variance on the landscaping and the trees, noting that the other businesses in the area do not have trees or
it's
landscaping.
It's an industrial park, so right. It's not like neighborhood issues.
But I would love, but P&Z did not address that part, is that?
There's quite a bit of discussion around that.
Yeah, they got quite a bit.
I thought they were coming with some kind of a plan.
We were coming with some type of landscape plan. He would need to, once he gets into it, he would need to go ahead and develop some type of landscape plan when he can start construction.
So we would not grant that variance request, is what you're saying?
That's correct.
Right, okay. I just want to make sure that we are clear by that.
Great, come on up here, sir.
Yeah, please do.
If you wouldn't mind just giving us your name and address, please, for the record.
Yeah, my name is Ralph Altman. I live at 1320 Buffalo Pass in Waco. I'm the contractor for Mr. Griffin. So what P&Z asked us to do was to give them a landscape plan, but the only thing they were requiring were the trees. We've got the – I don't want to be mistaken. I think we have 34 caliper inches of existing trees that we're going to be able to save. And then we've added a couple of crepe myrtles up at the front of the property, kind of on each corner that faces Deb. We don't have the opportunity to put any trees down cactus because from the back of the curb to our property line is only about 18 inches. That street is pulled way over on our side. Along Deb, it's all going to be a drive-in parking, if you will. It's not really parking, it's access. It's drive-in access all along that street. So the only place we have there is on each corner. And on each corner there, we're putting a crepe myrtle. I did submit that plan yesterday. I don't know if y'all saw it or not.
We probably haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm.
It
goes pretty quick.
Packet.
It goes, yeah.
Yeah.
If it was just done yesterday.
Yeah.
Does it answer your question, Councilwoman Cook?
Yes, I would. I'm glad to know that y'all have done that. Thank you so much.
All right.
Surrounding the landscaping.
Yeah. The main thing is with an industrial district, we don't have the standbacks or the issues like sidewalks or whatever.
I'm not worried about that. I just want to make sure that we cover everything that's been addressed.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Council, any more questions? No further questions, no further discussion. I'll entertain a motion on item 10B, please.
I'll make a motion to approve.
And I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you.
Do we need to add the exceptions of the variances?
Mr. Keeston, if you want to include the variances in there.
Okay, yeah, let me get right back to that.
Here we go.
Oh, okay, thank you. I'll make a motion to approve the application for site development plan and a plan district self-storage expansion, Lot 9, Block 4, Business Acres addition to the city of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 216 Deb.
Adopting the exceptions.
And to grant three of the exceptions requested.
Okay, yes. Including the granting of the exceptions requested, no installing sidewalks, no on-site parking, and no staff off-street loading space.
Perfect.
And I'll second.
Moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item 11A is the public hearing on application to develop and site development plan in a planned district, recreation complex, Lot 3, Block 7, Oak Ridge addition to the city of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 101 Ritchie Road. Time is 6:30. I'll open the public hearing at this time. Is there anybody to speak on this application to develop?
I can speak if there's any questions.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. There being none, I will close the public hearing at 6:30 p.m. Item 11B is discussion and consider action on the application to develop in a planned district recreation complex, Lot 3, Block 7, Oak Ridge Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 101 Ritchie Road. May I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make a motion to discuss. I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, 11B, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The plans have been reviewed by the city engineer and city staff, and they're found to be in compliance with the city ordinances. We also request that the applicant or their representative be present, which this gentleman is. Mm-hmm. And this did have one public hearing before this on July 9th at the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they took a vote to approve this as submitted.
Thank Great. You. Thanks.
I think it's such an asset to our community, so thank yes. you for that.
I do have a question.
Absolutely.
I couldn't see anywhere where it's going to be. It looked like there's a pretty much a fence that covers the entire property. Is there going to be public access? I know it's private property and all that, church, but yeah, I know that you guys have been really gracious with other areas and having people come into the church who are not members. So would someone be able to come in and walk on the track or walk on the walking path and use some of the amenities there?
Sure. Yes, so my name is Darrell Vickers at 524 Stone Canyon Drive in McGregor. And yes, to answer your question, yeah, whereas it is primarily for church use, they do also recognize yeah, the benefit to the community as a whole. And so, yes, there will be probably one, two, I think there are three large access gates and one personnel access gate onto the property itself. There are going to be lights installed, cutoff switches, bollards for the walking path that will be very low, 3 or 4 feet off the ground to light the walking path area. And so, yes, they are not necessarily going to set it up to where organized little league teams can come out and play, but, you know, pick up games, you know, with church members, community members, and that type of thing, I think would be permitted on the site itself. But, yeah, there will be, as you mentioned, a fence all the way around the property. And so.
Okay, I just want to hear you say it for the record. This is open to the public, right?
Right. Now, I can't vouch for whether or not they're going to charge the public. I don't think they are.
You're going to have the church charging the public?
Like I said, I don't know that they would. I don't think they will. No, I think it's all going to be open for use.
Okay.
There's going to be, along the walking path as well, there'll be several benches and stop areas. There'll be trash cans allotted along there. They only ask that, if you do come out, leave your dog at home. They don't want to be responsible for cleaning that up. Beyond
well,
that.
Mr. Vickers, I got to be honest with you. You're not representing the church very well. So. I've talked to a lot of folks who said this is absolutely open to the public. But
no,
when you
is.
Come when
it
you come
is.
Up here to talk to us, it sounds different. So.
Well, no, the intent is, yes, to allow community use. But, I mean, they will probably be posting signs that they don't, just people come out with dogs, and sometimes people just don't clean up after the pets. And so they're just concerned about that aspect of it. But as far as the community coming out and using it, the gates are not designed to necessarily be locked. So okay. I think you can access the property. I mean, there will be, like I said, pickleball courts, basketball courts, volleyball courts, pavilion. You know, for use of the pavilion, they may have a rental fee or something along those lines. But again, I think that they're still even trying to find their way, honestly. In fact, we're almost finished with design, and they're just forming a committee to determine how they want to use it.
Okay.
But in that respect, though, they do see it as a community outreach for the church.
So I sense your trepidation is more...
Yeah, I'm not a member there, so I don't know.
Well, I apologize.
They're just paying.
That was my assumption.
Okay.
So you wouldn't maybe know the answer to this question, but I sense the trepidation is with regard to as it being open for the public, it's more passive activity
right.
as opposed to people coming and commandeering the fields and the pickleball courts.
Right.
And maybe even charging to others to do that. Because I used to be a director of Parks and Recreation for a couple of communities. Mm-hmm. And we've had people come into those communities and start these fields, you know, games, right, and start charging people to participate. And the persons who are paying, they didn't know that they didn't, right, have the right to do,
yeah,
that.
And again, like I
so
said, yeah.
And the reason why I asked the question was because I live very, as we all do, close by.
Right.
And I saw it. I said, wow, you know, that'd be a nice place to go, you know, walk or jog, right, and maybe play pickleball.
No, exactly. And, I mean, and that's what it's there for. I mean, it's just like the MAC, their mystery activity center, is the same thing. I mean, you know, so I suspect, yeah, it's going to be a very similar model to that, to where it will be open to the public. They may just ask you to sign in or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, beyond that, I don't think that there's, you know, if you have a large event where you need to commandeer the entire pavilion, yeah, maybe. But, you know, that would have to be coordinated with the church. But like I said, they've just formed a committee that will actually start to work, I think, the end of this month, and really kind of start laying out their ground rules and whatnot, how they see everything being used. But right now, the general intent is, though, for the park to be available for the community as well as for the church members.
Okay.
Good. I think if anybody knows 10 people in Woodway, 3 to 4 of them goes to that church and they're talking about this.
Right.
And most of them tell me that they're planning for it to be open to the public to some degree. Yes. I don't know what degree.
Right. Yeah, I think
and
if there's
going to be a beautiful facility. Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah, there's a church festival or a church gathering of some sort. Yeah, it, sure, may be closed during those days, but I think, you know,
it's probably going to be a good thing to get more, yeah, people into the church, and it's already used.
Exactly.
So it's wonderful. So.
Yeah. Pickleball is going to be an issue. I can tell you that now. The reason why I say that is because, yeah, I go over to Whitehall Park,
okay,
and I play tennis more so than pickleball. And I tell you, every time I go over there, someone's out there playing pickleball.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
one day I asked the lady, I said, how do you enjoy playing pickleball? Yeah. I said, so do you guys live in Woodway? No, we live in Lorena. I said, oh, you do? Yeah. And, you know, I'm,
right,
okay with that, but,
right,
I went there like 5 days in a row, and every day I went there, that same group were there. They had both courts going. They were like 15 people, and I was like, okay, you know.
Play on that court, you got to be really good because you've got to play the bounce.
Yeah.
That's a wild bounce.
So that's why I was asking that question.
Yeah.
Any more application questions for Mr. Vickers before we let him go? Okay, sir.
Awesome.
Thank you very much for answering our questions, sir. Appreciate it.
Oh, you bet.
All right, Council, if there's no further discussion or questions, I will entertain a motion on item 11B, please.
I'll make a motion. I move that we accept the application to the fill-in.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
All right.
The next one's for the plan. That
the
one
next one's
is basically for the development.
Okay. We're not quite done yet, Mr. Vickers, if you want to hang around.
Yeah, you got one more. Yeah. We accepted your application.
I thought C was a dude.
You can.
We accepted your application, now we got to accept your plan.
Yeah, that's good to me.
All right. Item 11C is discussion and consider action on the site development plan in a planned district recreation complex, Lot 3, Block 7, Oak Ridge Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 101 Ritchie Road.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All right, it's been moved to discuss. Anything else, Mr. Manager, on this?
No, sir, I don't have anything else to add.
All right. Council, I'll entertain a motion on 11C, please.
I move that we accept.
I second that.
Moved and seconded. Thank you, ladies. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you. All right, now we're done.
Yep.
Thank you. Congrats.
On to the next one. Thank you.
See ya. All right, Council, we're moving on to our items for individual discussion, consideration, and or action. Item 12 is discussion, consider action on the approval of an upgrade to the dispatch radio system in an amount not to exceed $190,031.70 through Bearcom Incorporated, utilizing HGAC contract pricing and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, number 12, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Since you already got your legs stretched, I'll defer to you other than what's in the general background here. if you want to give it a shot.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. So we are requesting
190.
Oh, okay. Is there PowerPoint? So we are, you want to look at this and pass it around. We're requesting a dispatch update for our current center.
You're okay.
So we have three dispatch stations in our current dispatch center, and one of them went out during the last storm we had. These stations were installed in 2003, so they're over 20 years old. We were able to call BearCom, and they came and they advised us that all these stations are at the end, they're past their end of life. They do not have the parts for them anymore. They're too old. They're about two systems back. So they called it the ATRAC of dispatch centers is what they told us. I don't really know what that means, but I'm assuming a few people do in this room. But all that to say, we spoke with them and we advised them of our needs. They came and they did a very thorough outline of our dispatch center, and our first quote was $269,000. This is about our fourth quote that we got from them. We're able to look at the quote, meet with them, and cut things that we didn't feel was necessary. There's tier zero, tier one. Tier one is the fancier one. Tier zero gives us the servers we need. The majority of the cost is those three servers that you saw in the pictures. Those are in the server room, and those are quite expensive. They're more Motorola. We expect these to last another 15 to 20 years. We can make them last 20 years with our tender loving care of them. This is going to bring us up to date. What we don't want is these dispatch centers to go down and not be able to obviously dispatch, answer calls, everything. You know, Mr. Williams, everything that a dispatch center does. Want to be proactive about it, and we feel like this is HGAC pricing, which is Houston-Galveston area contract pricing, which is equivalent to buyboard pricing or TIPS pricing. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. This is going to come with three earpieces, which these are very nice ones that will last 15 years, foot pedals, screens. We're replacing all the screens on the dispatch center, which will be 12 total screens. We're replacing the servers, replacing the consoles. We're going to do it's a package deal. Of course, in my cheapness, I asked if we could do one at a time, and they told me that we have to do all or nothing because they don't. They're so old, they do not talk to each other if we do one of them. I'm happy to answer any questions y'all may have.
You don't want to go to the Secret Service plan of texting people?
I don't want to do anything with Secret Service right now.
Yeah, we text each other.
Yeah. I'm happy to answer any questions. Yeah, we really
got to have it.
Yeah, we've been doing this. This is about 4 months of conversation with BearCom to get to this point. And there's warranty on the products. And
prorated really, less than $10,000 a year.
Yes.
You got to have it.
Thank you.
No more questions. Thank you, Chief.
Sir. Appreciate it.
All right, Council, any more discussion on this? If there's no more discussion, I'll entertain a motion on item 12.
Please. I'll make a motion to approve the expenditure of $190,031.70 for the three stations. Through BearCom, Inc., utilizing HGAC contract pricing and authorizing the city manager to execute all the documents in connection therewith.
Second. Got it. All right. It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Wonderful. All right, item 13 is discussion and consider action on approving an interlocal agreement between the City of Woodway and Midway Independent School District to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of the entities in carrying out their governmental functions and services, and specifically for the City of Woodway to provide funding not to exceed $64,000 for lighting in the publicly accessible area of Woodway Elementary School known as the PAW, and authorizing the City Manager and the Mayor to execute all documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, item 13, please.
Thank you, Mayor. As everybody will remember, this had gone to Parks and Rec. Then it came to council, and the issue was raised, well, do we have anything in writing where we can agree to agree, but we'd like something a little more formal. Council tasked myself and the city attorney to find that language, communicate that to MISD, and both parties got that where they're both comfortable, and now we have it back to you for consideration.
Okay. Great.
I read through that agreement, and I wanted to brag on our city attorney and yourself that it was a very good contract.
All the credit goes to Mr. Shaw.
I read a lot of contracts, and that one was a solid one.
I don't get a lot of people saying that, so if you want to...
Well done, sir. Yeah, no, it's a great agreement. I agree with Mr. Russell. It's a good agreement. I think it captured everything that we wanted.
Yep.
I feel good about it. I think it captured everything that all the council wanted in this agreement. So,
and Dr. Allen also wanted to offer his thanks to the council for considering this project.
Absolutely.
All right.
Happy to be good partners.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anything else? Any questions? Anything? I want to make sure I don't cut you off.
Yeah.
I want to make sure. Okay.
Okay.
Good deal. All right. Well, I will entertain a motion on item 13 on the interlocal agreement.
I would like to make a motion that we approve the interlocal agreement between the City of Woodway and Midway Independent School District.
I'll second that. I'll second that motion, sir. Thank you. All those, I'll call for the vote now. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay.
Nay, for the reason that we have a large shortfall on water, plus $800,000, plus we are looking at up to a 9% increase on our largest part of our employees. So I feel like that $64,000 could be used to offset some of that. And that's the reason I'm saying no.
All right. The motion carries with one nay. Thank you very much. All right. Great. Moving on to item 14, discussion, consider action on renewing the three-year sponsorship agreement with Baylor University through Playfly Sports Properties, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $154,750, subject to appropriation to promote city programs to attract tourists and convention delegates or registrants to the city. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Gomez is going to help us through this, but I just wanted to acknowledge her. It's been months back and forth of work between her and now Jennifer and a couple of people at Playfly and Baylor to get this down to where it is tonight. So I just thought that should be acknowledged.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great day. So yes, we are going to discuss Baylor Athletics. We've been with them for the past few years. With this sponsorship, we're able to promote the hotels mostly is the biggest thing that we push. And then, of course, the events and activities, all the programming that we do. And then just overall pushing out the Discover Woodway brand to the surrounding community. This past year, Playfly took over for Learfield Communications, who did the contracting for Baylor Athletics. And so they have now presented us with a new opportunity. In this proposal, we do include the Baylor football, basketball, and baseball game day activations where we go out, my team and I, and then also with help from the Woodway Family Center. We present all of the activities, hotels, we give out Woodway maps, just really push out all the awesome things that we have going on over here, which surprisingly a lot of people in the Waco community don't know about. So it's a great opportunity for us. We also have advertisements in their alumni magazine. We have three of those per year. And then there's also the student activations that includes Christmas on 5th, and then, of course, the freshman orientation. That is definitely our biggest push for the hotels. Families love to know where it is that they can stay whenever they're coming to visit their students. So they're really excited to hear that we have 7 great hotels that they can stay at. That's the number one thing that they're excited about. So in addition to this proposal, we are also adding on the Baylor Brew email blast. That's another opportunity for us to make 250,000 guaranteed impressions about all of the fun stuff that we have going on over here. And then another big opportunity that I'm especially excited about, if you haven't gotten the chance to go to the Foster Pavilion yet, highly recommend. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. The ribbon, the LED ribbon that goes around the perimeter of the building, I don't know about y'all, but that's the very first thing that my eye goes to. We have the opportunity of advertising on there. It is a 2-minute guaranteed advertisement for every home men's basketball game. So that's huge. Overall, we're looking at a $5,000 increase in compared to last year. That would lock us in for the next 3 years with a total investment of $154,700, which we split up within the next 3 fiscal years. Their original price that they gave us was $80,000. We were able to negotiate with them, get that down significantly. I would really hate to miss this opportunity. It's a great way for us to push out this information. And we're just really excited to continue this partnership. But if you have any questions at this time, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
This comes out of the hotel fund,
yes.
Correct? So
correct.
It's not out of our regular tax base.
That's correct, yes.
And this should benefit the hotel motels.
Highly,
which
yes.
Which hopefully will make up for everything we spend on it.
Absolutely, yes.
Have you felt like that's been...
Absolutely, yes. We've
effective.
Gotten amazing feedback from all of the community events, especially, like I said, the Baylor parents. Whenever they hear that, you know, the hotels in Waco are booking up so fast, they're excited to hear that they have other opportunities out just a few minutes down from downtown. So
it's an investment.
Absolutely.
My dad was so excited when he saw it in the alumni magazine.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, what? Oh,
it's like, we know them.
They went up $5,000 a year?
So we spent $45,000 this previous year. We're increasing it to $50,000 this year, and then it jumps up a little bit with each next fiscal year across the 3 years.
So roughly around 11-12%, which
right.
is just what it is.
Unfortunately.
Well, the good news is we'll get a return on the investment.
Absolutely.
And I really believe that we're getting far more than what we're spending. So,
does that include radio also?
That does not include radio. We do have separate radio advertising.
Okay.
Opportunities.
Okay. That's okay.
Any other questions?
Anything else for Lindsay?
No, just great work.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. We're supportive.
Very, very good work. All right, Council, if there's no further discussion, if someone wants to make a motion on item 14.
I move that we renew the 3-year sponsorship agreement with Baylor University through Playfly Sports Properties.
Second.
Thank you, sir. I got you last time, so yeah. I wanted you to have it this time. All right, so moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Very good. All right, we've made it to the consent agenda. Consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items, which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. So, council, is there any item on here you'd like removed to discuss?
Nope.
All righty. I don't hear anybody, so I will entertain a motion on approving the consent agenda, please.
I make a motion we accept the consent agenda.
Second. Thank you, Ms. Gilman. Second. Seconded by Mr. Was that a second?
That was a
wow,
second.
Wow, awesome. I'm so happy. Awesome. Yes. I love that. The Kennergy. All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda is passed as written. Wonderful. Thank you all very much. Moving on to item 17, these are items related to the proposed fiscal year 25 annual budget and proposed 2024 ad valorem tax rate. Item 17 is discussion and consider action on acceptance of the 2024 ad valorem tax values as certified by the McLennan County Appraisal District Board of Directors and delivered to the City of Woodway on July 24th, 2024. Motion to discuss.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. So this comes to council annually. It is state law that requires the annual ad valorem tax roll be certified to the governing body, which I believe everybody has the attachments in their in their docket here. Staff recommendation is to accept the 2024 City of Woodway ad valorem tax rolls totaled as certified by the McLennan Central Appraisal District Board of Directors and delivered to the City of Woodway on July 24th, 2024.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Council, are we okay with accepting these rolls?
Not much you can do about it anyway.
Yeah.
We can send a message.
We can accept or we can accept.
We can send a message. Yeah.
Well, I'll see Randy tomorrow and it won't make a difference.
Would you like to make a motion on this, Mr. Russell?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the 2024 ad valorem tax values as certified by McLennan County Appraisal District Board of Directors.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I'll second that.
All right. It's been seconded by Ms. Gilman. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. Number 18, follow-up discussion on proposed annual budget and proposed ad valorem tax rate and consensus on the proposed tax rate.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Well, actually, believe it or not, this is just a
follow-up
discussion.
To have
no.
So,
but thank you. Thank you for the eagerness.
Thin guys. Trying to rush it along.
Appreciate that. So staff is asking that we come to a consensus on proposed 24 ad valorem tax rate. Staff's recommendation is to decrease the tax rate to 0.357865. That's the known new revenue tax rate per $100 of property value. All right, Ms. Hernandez, anything new for us?
Yes, sir. I prepared a few slides to go over the changes in the first version of the budget to the second version.
Great.
Just so we're all on the same page. I'm loving this clicker, Donna. Thank you. It's a nice addition. So just to catch all up on where we've been and where we're going.
Brenda, hang on.
Yes, sir.
Chief, I want you to know. Great PowerPoint. Yeah.
You already feels terrible. Don't rub it in.
Appreciate it.
Sorry, Chief. I came in here and checked before the meeting started.
Oh, she checked.
Yippity boppity boot out of here.
All right. Maybe I should be nice to the police. Okay. All right. Proposed budget. As I mentioned, where we've been and where we're going, staff has been working on this since March. We received the preliminary tax values in April, so we were able to prepare a budget and send that to council at the June council meeting. We've had opportunities to discuss budget items at the June meeting and the July meeting, and then we received the certified appraised values from the county on July 24th. And then shortly after, on July 29th, we received the tax rate calculation from the tax office. Two different entities, so let's separate those. And with those two items, I was able to prepare a second draft that I emailed to council and posted to the city's website on July 31st. So we're here to talk about the changes with the plan to adopt at the next council meeting. As mentioned, we'll go over a few items specifically related to second draft changes, major budget items, fund overview, and other funds. So I have two columns here. On the left side, these are the dollar value increases and decreases from version 1 to version 2. And on the right side is information added or removed. So we're just going to go line by line. So for TMRS rates, we saw an increase in the rate I budgeted versus what TMRS sent us. $95,000 difference from the first version to the second. But please note This also includes 1.5 employees that were not in the first budget. So we're not getting all getting $95,000 to our retirement. This, a part of this comes from additional employees added. As mentioned in my first presentation, I added a water rate study. They guesstimated it to be $50,000 to $75,000. I'd rather over budget it, and if it comes in under, we can use those funds elsewhere. We added a part-time groundskeeper. This was an original request from the superintendent at the Arboretum, and I missed it. So Jack, y'all love Jack, the guy that laughs and makes jokes up here. He needs help on the weekends. So that's what the groundskeeper's for. I added an IT specialist. Please note we are not paying this person six figures. This includes salary and benefits. And that's mainly for PD. They're a 24-hour operation. Right now we have one IT specialist that is constantly being interrupted on vacation. He's clearing all the help desk tickets by himself, so we really just found that it was a need that needed to be addressed sooner rather than later. I removed the Carlene Bright pergola, and this was mainly due to funding. That is getting paid out of the tourism and the Carlene Bright Construction Fund, and there wasn't enough money in there to do all the projects they requested. I sat down with the superintendents and the assistant city manager, had them choose between resurfacing the parking lot or adding the pergola. They decided the parking lot was a higher priority, so they pushed the pergola to next year. I adjusted fire pay. Here's a throwback. He mentioned the 8-track. Have y'all ever used Lotus? William used all his spreadsheets in Lotus. So this year, I recreated a spreadsheet in Excel. So with William's Lotus spreadsheet, he would start with the normal base pay without fire, and he'd add in fire pay. But with my spreadsheet, I started with fire pay. So I essentially double counted it the first time. It wasn't tying. And then I realized it was because of fire pay. So that's why that's adjusted down for PD, $250,000. And then insurance premiums, I budgeted that to come in at 10% an increase, which is consistent with the past 2 years. But Higginbotham came in with 5%. So we're thankful for our brokers that are able to help us there. As far as information added, I added the budget cover page, which comes directly from the tax office. And this just shows, I'll just go ahead and read it. This budget will raise more revenue from property taxes than last year's budget by an amount of $145,396, which is a 2.13% increase from last year's budget. The property tax revenue to be raised from the new property added to the tax roll this year is $165,163. That's confusing because it says it increases, but all that to say it's no new revenue rate, and any increases are related to new values added to the roll. I also added an introduction to Woodway page, a few pages, that shows our organization chart, our city council, Woodway's mission, strategies, and goals, and the city profile. It also includes applicable tax rate for sales, hotel, motel tax, and it has a table to compare what property taxes are for Woodway residents if you're zoned for Midway or if you're zoned for Waco. And then it includes some comparative property tax rates for 10 neighboring cities. I also added year-end transfers, as mentioned in my first presentation with deficits. It's recommended we transfer to the utility fund. There's also some surpluses that are estimated that will be transferred to the capital projects fund to fund projects included in the budget. I then added the other funds to this. This starts on page 64 and goes through 90. These are 25 other funds, other than operating, that are special revenue, designated, capital, or restricted. And there's specific slides dedicated to that. We can talk through that. I added the salary survey results and the pay plan, and then I removed the explanation for capital requests as there wasn't any questions or hesitancy on at the last meeting. But information is available if you'd like to see it. Next is just the major budget items of what is included in the budget. As mentioned, we're presenting the no new revenue tax rate at 0.357865. This is a decrease to last year's no new revenue. That was 373701. The no new revenue tax rate enables the public to evaluate the relationship between taxes for the prior year and the current year based on a tax rate that would produce the same amount of taxes if applied to the same properties taxed in both years. Therefore, any large increases relate to the properties added. The no new revenue rate presented would generate approximately $6.9 million that would be allocated between the general fund, future capital street improvements, and interest and sinking, as noted here. That breakdown is included on page 9 of your budgets. I also have a handout, which I'll just let y'all pass it amongst yourselves this time.
This handout comes from great questions that Councilman Russell asked me that I thought would be beneficial for everyone to see. You can just take one and pass it.
So the question he asked recently was, what does one penny of a tax rate create for money-wise? And that's $194,542. And we get that from the McLennan Central Appraisal District, their certified net taxable values. We divide that by 100, and we multiply it by a penny. The second section of that handout presented shows what the tax rate costs the average Woodway homeowner. Per McLennan Central Appraisal District, the average taxable value for a City of Woodway house is $410,092. With the tax rate proposed, this would result in the annual city tax costs of $1,468 or $122 a month. The last section is information requested by Councilman Keeston that shows different tax rate options that would impact the budget and the homeowner. It starts with the voter approval rate, which is the maximum rate allowed by law without voter approval. Then it fluctuates by half a penny. The table shows the dollar amount that would need to be added or cut to the budget if y'all went with a different rate, and what the annual and monthly costs would be for the average Woodway homeowner. This is for information purposes only. Staff has presented y'all a balanced budget, and we are recommending the no new revenue tax rate. Next is employee pay. Our largest expenditure is salaries, totally over 53% of our operating budgets. When I say operating, I'm only talking about the budgets that have people. So general fund, utility fund, and Carly and Bright. But in general fund, being that it still has all our employees, that's 77% of that budget. In comparison to the utility fund, it's only 16%. And then for Carly and Bright, that's primarily salaries, that's 65%. Mm-hmm. As requested by council, I sent over a salary survey performed by our HR department, along with various salary scenarios of different COLA and merit options. Councilman Russell asked me to review neighboring city budgets for their number of full-time employees and proposed COLA and merits. I also have that information available for y'all to read.
I'll start this one.
Handing that out. Next is debt payments. As I mentioned, I'm paying debt this week. This budget includes $1.495 million of principal and over $800,000 of interest payments of debt. But I do want to point out that Carly and Bright debt is being paid off this year. Capital outlay is page 91 through 96 of the budget. That includes $4 million of capital projects. Am I short one? I have one here.
I think it's coming. Okay. It's coming.
I have more. Okay. And I sent this beforehand to him. I just wanted you all to see it. Capital outlay, $4 million of projects and equipment replacement that can be found on page 91 through 96. And lastly, Lindsay's out of here already, but the tourism, I did want to point out that we are required to spend 14% of what we earn on hotel occupancy tax on advertising and promotions. And as that revenue continues to increase, I'm having to increase that budget. So we did increase it to $150,000 this year to spend on advertising and promotion. So this falls in line. But that's the 7% hotel occupancy tax we get from our 7 hotels. Before I move on, do you have any questions on what I disbursed?
Did that what we just approved for the advertising, did that use up all 14%?
No, sir.
No, not even close.
No, we budget $150,000, and that's, what was it, $50,000 that would be approved?
We have
bridal magazines, radio ads. We have a lot more that we use on advertising.
Okay, so other avenues are getting,
yes, sir,
getting that amount. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This shows the breakdown of the 32 funds we have. In the original budget, I only presented y'all the operating funds, or the seven main funds, which general, utility, sanitation, Carling Bright, operations, tourism, and our two debt services. But there's actually 32 funds total. And those are differentiated between special revenue funds and capital. And you can see here what the major revenue source is. I can get you a copy of this, Council McKeeson. I don't see one selfie of me. General fund is property and sales tax. That makes up 80% of the revenue. And the biggest expense is personnel. Utility, charges for service, expense are personnel, well, repairs, debt payments. Sanitation is really a pass-through from our contract with Frontier, but that's charges of service. Carling Bright operations, their revenue sources is a transfer from hotel occupancy tax, event revenues, and rental fees. They have 8 employees budgeted over there, and then those plants are pretty expensive, keeping them up year-round, but it handles the upkeep of the grounds. Mentioned tourism already, debt service, those are for the outstanding bonds, or the certificate of obligations that have been issued, just continued the payments for those. And then other funds, these are financed through transfers, property taxes, and fees. And the major expenses are capital projects, equipment replacement, and special purposes.
Now, like, for instance, tourism fund, the hotel occupancy tax, is that $1,049,000 that it's our annual income? Or is that what's in the bank right now? Or how is that figured?
That's the budgeted expense. It's the expenses for the upcoming year.
Okay. So we've got $37,800,000 in total budget expenses that's planned for this coming year?
Yes, sir.
But our revenue overall is somewhere in the $12 million.
For the general fund. So what you're talking about is the first line item. This is what impacts the taxpayers, the general fund.
Okay.
$12 million. And okay. That's what we have budgeted for revenue. We're required to pass a balanced budget. So for the most part, all these up here, not for the most part, for the all the ones listed above that I'm pointing at, those revenues equal expenses. Okay. It varies when you get to debt service and other funds. But that's all that information of the budgeted revenues and the expenses are in your packet.
Okay. It's in the budget draft that she sent us on the 31st of July. And I think it is very detailed, and I appreciate all of the thought that went into it.
I've got the first draft, and of course I've looked at the second draft, and I notice in the, for instance, the utility fund, there looks like some major differences on our beginning net position on the water sewage fund from the first draft to the second draft. Have you looked at that?
Yes, sir. And I mentioned that in the email that I sent you. The utility fund operates differently than all the funds because it's treated like a business. It's an enterprise fund. So if you look at their balance sheet, you're going to see all the fixed assets of our wells and all the bonds we ever issued, which is different than all the other funds. That's a modified accrual. It's not going to show all the streets we have that are capitalized. It's not going to show the certificate obligations outstanding. So I don't think the fund balance report is a good use because, I can pass that out.
Well, I'm just looking at the page 28 of the first one showed that we had a surplus deficit of $30,000. And then the second one came out to $850,000 surplus.
It's because it's static. It's a snapshot.
Yeah, and then let me see this one.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was net position. I changed it on the second draft. If you can see it, it says
quite a bit different.
Cash and investments.
Yes.
It's two different numbers.
Okay.
Because this isn't a good representation, because if you look at the balance sheet, and balance sheet actually shows like $5 million, but millions of that is in assets and liabilities.
But like when it comes down to the bottom number, you show $30,000, and then it changed to $850,000.
Well, the numbers change all the time, so as of right now, the water sewer fund is in a deficit. I can guarantee you that. If you look at their cash account, there isn't money there. They're getting supplemented by the general fund.
Okay.
But
As I mentioned in the email, I like to use cash and investments for the water sewer fund. These are all the questions that y'all have asked me.
Okay.
The budget. It includes everybody.
Okay.
But this is the where I tell you the fund balance.
Okay.
Of all the different
That's
funds.
That's what we were just talking about.
And how I don't believe this report is an accurate representation, because if you flip to the balance sheet, there's fixed, there's wells, there's main lines, there's bonds outstanding, there's accumulated depreciation, because this is operating like your normal business in comparison to all the other funds.
So I guess what is your question, Councilman Russell? Why was different?
I saw a major difference between the first draft and the second.
Because numbers are constantly changing and it's fluid, and I think giving y'all what cash and investments.
Fluid change.
Well, I think, like as I mentioned, the first draft said net position, and the second draft showed cash and investments, because I realized how it wasn't really comparable. But if I pull up the June bank statements, it's going to tie better than fund balance that's included in that report. But as I mentioned, the fund balance in the email, not mentioned here, doesn't include the last 3 months of the year. There's budgeted activity. So on that report, general fund looks like there's $5 million there, but we have 3 months of activity that still hasn't been incurred.
Our reserves for each one, I've got different numbers on that one also. Tell me, do you have that listed? For our overall reserves?
The reserves are listed in the budget. And when you say reserves, you just mean their fund balance.
They are investments,
to clarify.
Basically.
That's in each respective page. When you get to the other funds, it says estimated fund balance, and that's where the reserves are. But there's 32 funds, so they vary. But for the general fund, which is the one y'all ask about because it impacts the property tax payers, that's approximately $3 million in reserves before we transfer to whatever, to the water sewer fund.
So how much will we be transferring to the water utility?
When I did the last budget, my projection is that we'll end up $850,000 of deficit, and that's what I recommend transferring.
For us to transfer that over.
Yes, sir.
So we'll be clean as of this year.
Correct.
But you're thinking that the increase would cover if we have another bad year.
Great increase.
I think it will help.
Portion of it.
Yes.
Now, have you figured out on this increase what the number should be per year that we should get out of this increase total?
That's wow. No, sir. That's why I'm asking the third party to do it, because I'm not an actuary or adjuster. I
played with it, and I was trying to figure the best thing would probably be $300,000 to $400,000 at best.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing to keep in mind is our utility department, Community Services, has a multi-year water master plan, and that's another thing that this third party will look at to see how much money do we, one, have to continue to make to be self-sufficient, and then to finance all these capital improvement projects that are required to be had within our water master plan, and then our wastewater master plan that's budgeted to be done this upcoming year. But that's why I want to hire a third party to do that. But I have a few more slides, so hopefully I can answer some more of your questions as
I agree
continue.
With the needing to hire someone. Now, what was you saying that we pay for the, didn't you say $350 from water? On the first tier with Waco Water, is that correct? Or
what Waco charges us? $3.50 for the first tier.
And we're going to start charging $3.99 for the first tier for the 2,000 to 15,000.
I think it was 3.65, wasn't it? It was 5%. You were recommending a 5%.
That's up to 380, right?
But from 380, that's what's on the master settlement fee. That's up right now.
Yes.
And when will the second version and the master fee go up on our website so people can see it?
The second version is on the website now. I posted it on July 31st.
I don't think so. Or I just checked it earlier today and didn't see it.
with my website.
Yes.
Right here to the side, proposed budget, version 2.
Okay.
It's been there since the 31st.
Okay.
And does that have the master fee schedule revised?
It does not include the master fee because I don't review all the master fee schedule. I put my water, sewer, my sanitation, but that includes permits, that includes pavilion rentals. So I submitted my changes to Donna, and I don't handle that. Mm-hmm. So.
Can I get an extra paper copy of that? I've got
of the master fee schedule or the budget?
Of the whole budget. I've got one citizen that likes
sure.
to go through it.
Let me write that down.
I'd be grateful for one as well. Thank you.
Anybody else like a paper copy?
Maybe make one more for me. So okay. Two for me and one for Dave.
Okay. Can I proceed
please,
with my slides?
Please. Thank you.
Does that answer your questions, Mr. Russell? Can I proceed?
For mine, I think pretty much so. I mean, we do need to go into more detail about this, but that I'm thinking that's going to be more in the next council meeting to get deeper on that.
Well, this is our time. This is what this is for, is to ask these kind of questions. So.
Well, but some of this will probably need to be hit during the public section, too, to make sure we get it right.
Okay. The next three slides relate to other funds that I mentioned, the 25 other funds that were not included in the first draft. This includes any activity expense-wise over $5,000. So when someone comes and pays a fine, it's allocated to different buckets, and it's restricted on what we can use that for. So Malia, who does a great job as our court administrator, she wants to replace her server, and there's going to be various renovations over there. We also got approval from our city prosecutor about the child safety fund of utilizing some of that money to pay for the overtime for the officers we have present during family activities, and they did sign off on that. So that is no longer coming out of the taxpayer dollars. That's going to be coming out of that special revenue fund. Asset forfeitures, money we get. Khalil pulls somebody over, and they have drugs. And it takes a while for the DA to prosecute it or to process it. We get some money from them eventually, and we use that for any activity to help us continue to get the bad guys. Discover Woodway, that's Lindsay's group. It sponsors the funding allows various city events. I know Mr. Hoffman has been asking about the concert series. That is included in the budget, and there is a concert coming up next month. Yes, sir. General fund equipment replacement. This includes patrol and administrative vehicles that will be replaced, 5 utility vehicles, a backhoe loader, and the 1/3 installment payment to the pumper truck. The equipment replacement, we have a vacuum truck coming out of the utility fund that they need to replace. It's getting old. Capital projects, you've seen all these before. This is Paul Lighting. Woodway Park Road Maintenance, apparently that is done now, so I'll probably take it off here. We haven't received a bill from the county, but that's one of the capital projects that I went ahead and just carried forward. And then our general capital projects that are routine, micro seal, we're still setting some money aside for Ritchie Road, the Woodway Sidewalk Project at Midway, and then transferring to the Carlene Bright Arboretum to fund some of their capital outlay projects, which are on the next slide.
Hopefully we get that grant this next time around, and that would help us a whole lot with that, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
I was really hoping that would come through. But anyway, that's still something to look forward to if we get it.
As mentioned, the Carlene Bright Arboretum Construction Fund, they submitted several projects. I only removed one, which is the pergola, but they are going to do their overflow parking lot. They're going to redo the pavilion windows and parking resurfacing, and then their outdoor restrooms. It is installed, but they want to put the AC unit, so that's just an extra $10,000 that is being asked for in the budget. Family center construction. This was budgeted last year. It's the ADA playground equipment. We're just going to continue to carry that forward until council makes a decision on what to do with that building. And then Jimmy has asked for temporary parking at the lot up the street that we own for the family center. Utility project.
The one that's currently housing some of the items for the project.
The one that John Irwin was up here, very close to the public safety building. It's like on the corner of, what's that street? Wood Valley.
But is it the one that's being currently used?
I don't know which one's being currently used.
But yes. I mean, on Estates.
Yeah, right off Estates right here?
Yeah.
Yes, sure. It's right there on the corner.
Okay. Oh, I'm thinking, okay, I was thinking that way.
I'm over here.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
That's for the sewer project folks.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I was wondering if they were going to be moving that.
Yes, my old boss, Jim Therrell, lives near there, and he's always asking me about it. Like, different department, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I'm with you, I'm following you.
Perfect.
I think at some point we're thinking about making that into a full-fledged parking lot anyway, so...
Yeah, we went ahead and just budgeted a temporary parking lot, but has whatever y'all choose to go forward with, we can make that as is. Utility projects, this is water sewer, the Acorn Well Pump House. As I mentioned, there's a water master plan that lists out the capital projects that we need to do every year. So Tater Hill storage tank is up. The continued 2-inch water line, we've been doing 400,000 of that the past couple years, and so we're just going to continue that. The water rate study, as mentioned, and then the wastewater master plan. And hopefully the sewer line project will be complete next year, but I went ahead and threw that in there because that is a big item on the capital ticket, but it's something that's been going on since before I started working here. So.
Thank God.
It's been going on forever.
All right, last but certainly not least.
35 feet a week. I think we'll have it done by 2050.
The last thing I added to the budget is the very back. It's the city's pay plan, and I just wanted to talk through this as there's a ton of information. Council directed us to send that salary survey, which I did, and I went ahead and included that in this budget with the 5% COLA till I hear a consensus of otherwise. Performance plan, this is where I mentioned the merit. So here are the different ranges. If they just are doing their job and they're not going above and beyond, they're actually not getting a raise. But if they get above standards, a B, they'll get a 2%, and if they get significantly above standards, they're eligible for a 4% raise. And that's consistent with the performance pay plan that we've had in place for the past several years. Retention pay is $750 a month for however many months you've worked at the city. There are additional requirements. You have to at least meet your standards in your past evaluation. You have to be here the full 2 years in order for you to even get that. Todd. Is Todd in the room? No. Todd's making bank on that. He's been here longer than I've been alive. So $750 a month for however many years, it adds up. But that is, we want to recruit and retain talent. And he's been loyal to the city for 38 years.
Congratulations.
Yep. Fire pay, this is something that we increased last year. We're not requesting any increases. It's just presenting to it. There's $3.82 to $8.81 for those officers that have gone through the fire academy. I think I said there's 23 eligible officers. I know there's been some turnover that are getting that, but our officers are dual certified, so we do save quite a bit of money there not having a separate fire department. And then lastly, certificate pay. This ranges anywhere from an intermediate telecommunicator to people with a PhD. We like to compensate that talented employees, that people that have gone to higher education or getting certifications to receive additional compensation. I didn't make any changes to this last year, but this year we did have 3 employees go through the certified, tell me what it is, John? Certified public manager certification through Texas State. And so we went ahead and added that designation to the pay plan to compensate the employees for that. But it is whatever the highest is. So John or whoever, if they have masters and this is less, they're not going to get both. They're just going to get whichever one is the highest. And I think that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Who did you talk to at McGregor that told you how much the COLA and merit?
I talked to Carolyn, the finance director.
Okay.
Yep.
I was at an event with the mayor of Hewitt, McGregor, and Bruce Wadey. Which may be small, I didn't bring those up, but all 3 said that they was only going at 3% COLAs. Also talked with Parnell McNamara, and I believe he said it was only going to be 3%.
Sure.
I understand that MCC is also only going to go up 3%.
Yeah, I talked to Carolyn last week, and Lee Klump, who William Klump's son, they both work there, and they said in their budget it's a 5% COLA. And that they used to do a merit. They do the COLA in October. They used to do a merit in January, and they got rid of that, and they just are going with the COLA.
But everything else was public documents that I reviewed on their website.
Most everybody I'm hearing now is going just to COLA. At some time, we probably need to discuss the salary survey. I don't know if we want to get into it now. I think there was 37 categories that you sent us, which was wonderful information. Two-thirds of it, we was by far the highest pay. Mm-hmm. I think what we might want to do is, of course, grandfather everyone that's working now, but we need to talk about maybe adjusting those categories to be more in line with the other cities. Also, I wonder, you know, when you're talking about a possibility of 9% increase, you know, if someone's already at a top pay, and let's just use the number of $100,000. If they get a 9% increase, now that range just went to $109,000, not just $100,000. So I don't know if we need to look at, especially if we're out of whack paying more than what all the other cities doing, if maybe we need to cap someone that's already making top pay and we're already paying more than what the other cities are paying. It's something that I think we might need a great deal of discussion. Probably don't want to talk about it tonight, but maybe in the next council meeting go more in depth about how we're paying. I feel like we've got some great employees. I want them to be paid the best, but also I want the citizens to feel like we are watching the funds.
Sure.
That is the largest amount of our budget. And if we are paying too much, not so much for the ones we have now, because I want to keep the ones we have now, but for future hires, we might want to adjust that to where we're not automatically paying more.
Sure. I will say one of the goals, the strategies for the city is recruiting, developing, and retaining highly qualified staff. So the reason we do perform that salary survey is to ensure that we're competitive with neighboring cities. I know for public safety, and Chief, feel free to chime in here, a lot of public safety or police departments are offering sign-on bonuses, and that's not something that we do because we compensate our officers well.
Lorena Hewitt, $15,000 sign-on bonuses, $15,000 sign-on bonuses, Waco. I think almost every department other than ours is doing a sign-on bonus, which we don't need to do that because we
because our salaries are competitive.
One of the things I saw that I was thinking was your dispatcher looked like he was actually paid less. That might be one that we might want to bring up some because of, you know, we do seem to have a little turnover. I know it's a difficult job that might cause a lot of turnover anyway, but I don't want to see that it's because another city is hiring our people and paying them more.
Yes, sir.
I just don't want to always be the highest one on everything. And like I said, it's nothing to do with the people we have now needs to be grandfathered in. It's just for new hires that maybe we want to change those brackets.
Yes, sir. I hear you. And that's one of the things I implemented a change we just talked about as management this year. Is in the past, people didn't matter when they got hired. If October 1st hit, whether they were hired September 20th, they would get a COLA. And I've talked to McGregor about it, and they have a cutoff of July 1st. If they're not employed by July 1st, they're not getting a COLA.
Sure.
So that's one thing that I'm trying to do to save the city some money on that end.
Say you should at least be once a year. I mean, not once a year. You should be there over a year.
Yeah.
And you know, from the business standpoint, I mean, we're talking about a possibility of having 9% increase on someone. I don't know any of y'all on the council. Have you ever got a 9% increase for doing the same job you was doing before without getting a promotion? That's pretty stout.
Well,
I don't know what the
COLA is not. It's. I mean, if we didn't give the COLA, we'd essentially be giving them a decrease in pay. So
actually, no. When you think about it from the standpoint, if we're already paying more than the average other cities, or more than the top of the other cities.
We also have excellent service.
I'm sure everyone feels like they get that. I'm happy that we have, but you know, if we're already paying in some situations 20% more, I think as council members we're not really watching things well enough.
or manage, we're supposed to be managing resources, and the largest part of our resources is our staff and payroll.
Yeah,
deservedly so. And I'm very happy with the product. I'm very happy with the product that they offer us.
So, Brenda.
Yes, sir.
When was the last time that we actually did an actual compensation study? Not just looking at the neighboring communities and saying, well, this is what we pay this particular person, this is what we pay that particular person. But taking that into consideration, when having an outside consultant, taking a look at it and saying, okay, for this type of position, this type of experience, this level of education, this is what this person, relatively speaking, should be getting paid. And then taking a look at what we pay and where do we shake out. Because I think that's, in agreeing with what David's saying, I think that has a lot more to do with whether or not we are paying our employees a higher compensation than what other communities are. Just looking at whether or not someone is saying, okay, we deserve to have a COLA. And I'm not disagreeing that we should give a COLA. But I have been, I've said this before, I've been in a situation when, you know, back in 2008, between 2008, 2009, employees in the city of Indianapolis did not get a raise, period. Mm-hmm. Now, the city did compensate them by taking on the burden of paying the extra cost for health insurance and things of that nature. But there was no cost of living increase. There were no merit pays that came along with that. I was one of those individuals, fortunately enough, that I got promoted several times, and I was able to get significant increases because of that. But not everyone could say that. And I agree with David. You know, we should give a cost of living increase, but we should be prudent as far as how much we're giving people. And 9%, and we have to look at it from that perspective, because every last person is eligible for 9%, right? If they get the 5%.
Not necessarily.
No, they're eligible for it.
If they do.
No, well, no, they aren't eligible. Not everyone's eligible. Like, for example, Chief, sorry to put you on blast here, but Chief got promoted in June. No. He's not eligible for it.
I'm saying everyone who's eligible for this particular compensation level will be eligible for the 9%, correct? I'm not saying they're not eligible for it because they may receive some other type of compensation. I'm talking about the general employee. The general employee who falls up under the merit pay and the cost of living structure, they would get 4% if they did well enough to earn 4%. Is that a correct statement?
That is not a correct statement. Due to the timing of when people are hired, some people are not eligible for a merit.
No, I'm saying if they're eligible.
If they are eligible. If they were to be eligible, yes, sir.
That's all I'm saying. If they meet all the requirements, the eligibility requirements, they would be eligible for 4%.
Correct.
Okay. We have to assume then that most people, not all, and I'm sure you can figure this out. But not all. But we have to assume that a good chunk of them will be eligible, because we're not hiring new people every day, correct? So we have to assume that there's a potential to pay 9%.
And the promoted individuals will also not receive it. I mean, just to...
But to answer your first question, before we get too off track here...
If they got promoted within a certain period of time, they would be...
So
there are 8 people who will not be eligible
because
this
of salary.
Year because
but they did get their evaluations at 6 months, and they were eligible for raise at that rate and at 12 months. So that aside, but to answer your question that you originally asked, has there ever been a formal compensation study? For the years that I've been affiliated with the city, since I was the city's auditor since 2015, 2022, and then they hired me, No, I have not seen a formal compensation study. But that is something, now that we have a separate HR person that's separate from payroll, that she is being tasked with next year. And we do receive information for the Chamber of Commerce for their formal compensation study, and we reviewed it as management. We looked at holidays. We looked at benefits. And we looked at it. We didn't make any changes off of that. We simply based it on the salary survey.
Yeah.
But that is something that we have on the horizon.
No, it's valid information to by which to make a decision. But I was just wondering if that was the case. And it would be interesting to know, and I don't want you to do this, but it would be interesting to know, maybe we can sit down sometime in the future what percentage of employees would potentially qualify for the 9%.
Yeah.
So don't worry about doing it.
No, I won't do anything, but I know, Councilman Russell, you mentioned, hey, we can talk about this more at the next meeting, but really I need a consensus here because we're adopting at the next meeting. Yeah. It's going to be hard for me to run back to my desk and change something and come back.
Yeah,
so
yeah, understood.
I showed the information.
Okay.
McGregor has the COLA. They don't have merit. Hewitt has a COLA. I don't have it in front of me.
It's
I gave you my copy. And they have a 2% step, which is 5%. And then Lorena has been calling, asking questions of what they're going to do. I think they're trying to recruit and retain employment. They didn't have any public information for me to disclose. Mm-hmm. But I know they are looking at compensation as well. And I think the last one I have on there is Robinson. And they were 4%. And then they had up to a 2.5% merit, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yeah, it sounds like most of the ones are around a 5 total, you know, between the two of them, except for us. Now, off subject just a little bit. Whenever we have the insurance increases, the city of Woodway is paying for those increases. The employees are not getting hit with an increase, are they?
No, they are getting hit with a slight increase.
Okay.
So me, I'm single, I don't have any kids. The city pays for my insurance. But if I were to be married and had a spouse on there, the city would pay a portion, but I would be taking some of that cost.
And that's kind of standard in most
sure.
industries. But my point is if we're just insuring you,
sure.
When the insurance goes up, will you have to be paying more or will we take? Okay, so the city is absorbing any increase, so you're not getting a cut in pay from that standpoint. And that's what I'd hope for. I was going to say, that might sound like I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth, but I would like for the city
that's
to
nice.
Pay any increases so we don't see, oh my goodness, I'm making less money because insurance
sure.
is going up. And it's hard on the taxpayers to have that extra expense. But from the standpoint, like you said, if you have a family that you're mm-hmm. insuring, well, that's insuring someone other than the employee.
Sure.
And that's what we used to do with our company. Like I said.
Can I ask Brenda a question real quick?
Sure.
If that's okay. Brenda, what would you like for us to give you right now so we can get moving?
I mean, we can't take any action, but just a consensus of do y'all want to continue with the COLA and the pay plan? Do y'all want to edit those numbers?
Okay.
Where do y'all want me to go? Because I
else?
Don't want this to continue at the next meeting. And
no, I hear you. I hear you. No, that's good. We'll make a decision tonight. Do you need anything else, direction from us?
That was the biggest thing in question. That was the one most homework. So, no. And
okay.
As long as y'all are good with the tax rate, y'all are good with all the capital projects included, this is the one thing that can change the most. So that's
okay.
just what I need some direction on.
Well,
is that fair, City
sure.
Manager? Is there anything else that I need?
Yes, ma'am. No, nailed it.
Yeah, and if we look at it, we're at 5, possibly up to 4. Hewitt is 3 and 2, 5 total. Robinson is 4, 1 point, or 1 to 2.5, and McGregor is at 5, the way this is listed. Like I said, the mayor there, which is also runs the Blue Bonnet
sure.
Water, told me it was going to be 3, and some others had told me theirs was going to be 3. I would be content with the Hewitt program. Personally, I'd prefer the 3% overall, just because it seemed like that's about what we have. But I'm thinking with the council, 3 would be too low that they would be interested in. But the Hewitt, I mean, they're a similar size, similar with us in so many things. They have a few more employees. I'd be content with that.
Mr. Shaw, is the best thing for us to do is to just vote on what we want to do or just voice what we want to do? I mean, this has gotten so crazy. What do we do here?
So you certainly, to Mr. Hannity's point, need to give her some direction of what she should have prepared for next meeting, because
yep.
you do have to adopt then.
Yep.
You can't do a straw poll. You can't
okay.
say this is what I'll vote for. Obviously, you're going to come to the public hearing next meeting listening to what citizens' input might be, and that might sway you one direction or another. So you can't, as you sit here today, know what you're going to adopt, but you can certainly give some direction to staff to know what to have prepared for next week.
Well,
next
I guess what I'm asking is, do we just each go and voice what we want to do, and she can tell who has consensus, or should we just do like a non-binding vote? What's the best way to do this? I need direction from you.
Sure. What you're posted for is a discussion, and like anybody could, I think, through hearing your thought processes working out loud, staff will have a clear idea at the end of your discussion what it is that at least you're leaning into going into the next meeting.
Okay. Well, I... Go ahead, John.
You don't need to vote. In other words, maybe you don't need to vote or declare.
I know, but I need to give Don. I need to give Brenda some care.
Okay, so this is a response to the question that I asked the last time.
Sure.
You sent us a spreadsheet. At least you sent it to me. I don't know if you sent it to everyone else.
Yes, I BCC'd everybody else.
You sent the spreadsheet, and it did have the breakdown of COLA and the merit. Originally, I said, you know, I would be okay with 3% merit, 5%, I'm sorry, 3% COLA, up to 5% merit, or 4-4. I think what we could do is we can review this because you have the numbers here. Mm-hmm. And if someone wants to make a motion at the next meeting for one of these four options.
She needs it now. She needs it tonight.
She already knows what the dollars are because she produced that already.
No, sir. She needs to know what we want to do.
May I speak on that real quick, Councilman Williams, Mayor Pro Tem? That number does not include the additional IT specialists and the parts paper. But yes, there was different scenarios. So if you just want to look at whatever scenario. Yeah.
And then so Mr. Shaw, Councilor Shaw, is there anything that we would be prohibited from doing as far as, if I heard you correctly, you said that our minds could be swayed by the citizenry once we have the public hearing.
Absolutely.
So if we did this, if we had something to review as a council body, and then one of us make a motion after we've heard the public comment, we could say yay or nay to that motion. Is that correct?
I'm not sure I follow.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about two different things.
I mean, the
budget will clearly be adopted at the next meeting. And so you'll make your motions on the budget at the next meeting after the public hearing. As far as for tonight's purposes, again, I think, I mean, we can hear where various council members are. I think what we need is kind of a voice.
But we can't tell her what to do tonight.
Yes, we can.
I'm hearing you say.
Well, you can tell her.
We're going to tell her.
It's just
okay.
How much you're going
to. You know, we've heard a couple of people speak about a 3% COLA, which I think I too would like to approach that. I personally wouldn't be opposed to seeing a merit in the 1% to 3% range. But, I mean, everybody probably has their own ideas. So, other than getting into this problem of a straw vote, I mean, how do you come to a conclusion here where Brenda can have some manageable information?
That's what I asked. I didn't get very direct information. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to voice my recommendation. And I guess just by nodding your head, you support, and that'll be enough consensus for you. And you can shake your head or whatever you want to do. Yeah.
Can I just add, just for truth and taxation, for this item, we do need a consensus on the tax rate. Because that helps
that's
us move on the next two items.
But we're not there.
Right.
Yeah,
she just wants COLA.
I think we're still on item 18, aren't we?
We're still talking about the budget, not the tax rate.
We're just talking about this. We're not talking about that yet. All right. Brenda, just to give you some direction, and I'm sorry about this. This is kind of unusual for us to have to do this, but I really don't want to go backwards on our COLA, and I don't want to defund any department, especially our police officers, by reducing their proposed merit. I'm actually very proud that we are one of the highest paying communities because we have what it shows for in our town, and there's nobody else like Woodway, quite honestly, and I think we're getting exactly what we pay for. So, Council, I'm going to ask Ms. Hernandez to proceed with a 5% COLA and allow the staff, not us, but the staff, to decide their merit for their people between the ranges of 2% and 4%. So, if you support that, if you'll just say, I support, and that's it. No.
I support.
All right. One, two.
No.
No. Okay. Is that enough for you, Brenda?
Where are you, John?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. So sorry.
That's okay.
I missed you.
I'm going to have to say no.
All right. Is that enough for you, Brenda?
That's fair. Councilman Russell, did you?
So, in other words, no change.
You're wanting as recommended.
And what was your recommendation? Just so I can have both numbers ready, and the difference of what we save, I'm just going to budget that as capital.
Mine was the Hewitt plan, but I'm also okay with what Councilman Keyston said, which sounded closer to the Robinson plan, I believe. Or what did you say to make sure?
I said 3% COLA and a merit that was 1% to 3%.
Let me kind
of maximum of six.
Clarify, this would be helpful. So last year, if you'll recall, we came to the meeting and we're throwing out new numbers for the finance director during the meeting that she hadn't had time to prepare or pull samples. So I think in my mind, that's what we're trying to avoid. If you have a number you want to present, certainly between now and the next meeting, Mr. Hernandez would have time to run that number, but we don't want surprise numbers.
Sure.
The difficult thing is
and then mainly for the tax rate.
That's basically what I was trying to say, is that it's already here. What you did the last time and put it in a spreadsheet gives us that type of, the only number that isn't there is the 3% with 1% to 3% merit. But the 3% with up to 5% merit is there.
Sure. I provided
that.
So
they can go between 2% and they can go between 5%. And that was what I had originally said. And I thought that maybe doing it this way, we would give you something to work off of, and then we would have, instead of coming to the meeting when we have to actually approve this, throwing out those numbers at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I was wrong.
The difficult thing about what we're saying here is when we have the public hearing, the public might be saying something totally different, and we already have it basically set in stone needing to approve it. So I kind of feel like we needed to have the public meeting this time, so we could have got you the right numbers from the public standpoint. I mean,
well, Mr. Shaw is saying I'm preparing both numbers. I'm going to have that available for y'all at that meeting.
Okay.
So I hear what you said. I hear what you said. Five, as is Mayor, Councilman Keyston said 3% and 3%. Is that correct?
Three.
Correct, yes.
Right.
But.
Yeah. And if there were extraordinary circumstances or a compelling argument or some information that nobody considered as the group and you wanted to make those adjustments, I mean, that's precisely what this process is designed to affect. But for efficiency's sake,
sure.
Certainly it's better to know, you know,
where you are leaning.
And for efficiency, you just put me down along with David Keyston, Councilman Keyston, so that way you don't have mine, you know, being an oddball.
Well, I liked yours better. Yours was, no, I'm kidding. Okay.
It
yes.
was actually lower for you, so.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But you're saying you're making it to where it would not impact a change in the tax rate. Like if we say we want to.
Correct. The budget that I presented includes the COLA as presented and includes the merit as presented.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
But what I'm trying to say is, so we wouldn't need to go down in the tax rate if we
The benefit of having a little lower incentive would be that it could give more money in surplus for covering things like what we saw in the utility fund or other things that, you know, we might look at next year saying, oh, we've got so much we can cover. Also, on my plan of increasing some of the lower paying scales, we might need, I saw several people in the police department that needed a raise working off of that scale because, like I said, dispatcher was a little low compared to the other cities, and I'd like to see that raised up.
Yeah.
And when we do the salary survey, we are going to adjust them effective October 1st for the ones that came in under the average.
Yeah, a little less than a third was lower, and, you We don't need that either.
Brenda, do you have what you need at this point?
I do have what I need at this point. And then the next slide relates to the tax rate.
Yeah,
well, so I'm going to go ahead.
Do you have what you need for,
yes,
for
sir.
The call on this?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
I believe so. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right.
So was this 20?
Are we still on 18? Okay, sorry.
This is 19.
All right, moving on to, thank you.
18,
thank you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Brenda. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Thank you.
Item number 19 is discussion, consider action on the proposal.
I'm sorry, we're still on 18. Are y'all going to go with the consensus on the tax rate?
So we'll need a vote on the ad valorem?
The consensus is if y'all are okay with the proposed tax rate.
Okay.
Yes.
And
how do we do that? Just
nod our heads.
Nod our heads. What?
My head's nodding.
Okay.
Yep.
We got consensus on the tax rate.
On the tax rate.
No new revenue.
Okay. No new
revenue. All right. Number 19. Discussion and consider action on proposal to place an action item to a future meeting agenda for the purpose of adopting a 2024 ad valorem tax rate. Can I get a motion to discuss?
I'll make
please?
A motion.
It's been moved. I'll second it. Let's see, Mr. Manager, any comments on 19?
No, sir, I don't have anything further.
All right, so we're just...
setting it for the next meeting.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to set it for the next meeting.
I'll make a motion to set it for the next meeting.
It's August 26th at 5:30 p.m.
Yes.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay.
Record vote.
Oh, it's a record vote. Okay. So record votes are, I'll call your last name and just tell me aye or nay, please, for setting it for August 26th at 5:30 p.m. Gilman?
Aye.
Cook?
Aye.
Williams?
Aye.
Corzal? Aye. Russell?
Aye.
Aye.
Keyston? Surrey?
Aye.
Uh-huh. Not Surrey. Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say something. I said, uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah,
that problem.
You got it, Donna? All right. So it looks like that passes, and we've got it set for next meeting at 5:30. Item number 20 is discussion and consider action on setting the date, time, and place for the required public hearing on the proposed 2024 ad valorem tax rate. Motion to discuss.
Please. I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. All right, Mr. Manager, what are we doing on this one?
So this is what Ms. Barkley was referring to with the truth in taxation, another part of it. Our staff recommendation is to schedule the required public hearing for the 2024 proposed tax rate for Monday, August 26th at 5:30.
All right, is this a record vote also on this one? Okay, great, well, we'll just... Same thing, guys. Next meeting is August 26th at 5:30, so I'll take a motion on the date, please.
I move that we have the next date set at August 26th
at 5:30. At 5:30, perfect. All right, it's been moved. Do we have a second?
Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Woodway, City Hall.
City Hall. All right, it's been moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. All right, City Manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be brief. Just wanted to give a quick wells and tanks update. The tank painting at Bosque up here up the street has been completed. The tank is refilled and awaiting TCEQ clearance for any possible contamination. In other words, they test it after it comes back online and it's full, make sure there's no bugs in it, and we'll get the green light. That's just around the corner. Then Highway 84 well will go down for the same refinishing, the interior coating, and the Business Acres pump has been restored and is operational. Everything is working fine there. We were waiting months for a part that had to get refinished out of state. So that's good. Good time of the year as we need it in the last quarter to get those utility funds back in line. The shared path, I have a handout for everybody. It will be put out on the MISD's social media and the city's roadways. There's a new traffic pattern for arrival and dismissal
which was put together by Principal Greiger. So I've got that for you. For administration, it was a little while ago that you all received a letter that was dated June 21st, 2024, that regarded a complaint at 711 Forest Oaks Drive. This was a burned, dilapidated structure that was brought to the council's attention that had remained untouched for some time. Since that complaint has come in, I've worked with Chief at Public Safety and the Code Compliance Officer. Between the two of those gentlemen, they've worked an arrangement with the owner, who has since raised and removed all that debris. So we have not reached out to that citizen yet, but the complaint has been addressed and remedied. And lastly, Keisha Redden, formerly our plan reviewer, she's been promoted to executive assistant to the city manager. Community Services Administrative Assistant Amy Novak is transitioning into that plan reviewer role, and we have interviews scheduled this next week to backfill Amy's position. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you very much for the updates. All right, item 22 are the City Council reports. Do we have any briefings from any of the liaisons?
There is no PNC meeting
tonight. No PNC.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes. The Youth Commission has an event on Sunday, August 25th. It's being sponsored by the 100 Club. It's being held at the Hawaiian Falls, and it's to support our first responders. So that's going to be from 6:15 to 8:15.
Thank you, Mr. Keeston. Anybody else? All right, 23 is consider action on adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
So moved. I'll second it. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned at 8:02 p.m. Thank you all.